Well, it looks like this week's show has the potential to be the most controversial ever. But before we get going this week, I just wanted to reach out to you guys and say thank you so very much to all of you who have been supporting Gun for Hire Radio's Colored Coalition's new project that we're calling Guns for the Needy. So many of you from all over the country have been sending your 30 bucks in for the Gun for Hire Radio limited edition I Will Not Comply t-shirt. And so many of you have written back and told us how much you really like the shirts. They're all individually custom made right here in New Jersey by Kick-Ass Custom Tees, and we want to thank them for their participation in this program. All the proceeds are going to go directly to legally arming, educating, and training the most vulnerable members of our community. Those folks who are forced to live and raise their families under constant fear in New Jersey's crime-ridden inner cities. We've told you, it's our vision to enlist these newly licensed, educated, and well-trained armed citizens in our fight, and then send them back out into their own neighborhoods to educate their families, friends, and neighbors about their God-given rights and about the oppressive, unconstitutional anti-gun laws that intentionally make us citizens unwilling victims, subject to the whims of a terminally corrupt political system that rules our courts and the gangs of thugs that rule our streets. Well, thanks to you who have already sent in your money in support of this great project and patriots just like you, freedom, real freedom, is within our grasp. You guys know we're fighting hard to take back our rights and take back our streets as we continue to broadcast truth right here from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain. But we couldn't do it without your support. So once again, thank you so much for wasting an hour with us each week. We really do enjoy spending our time with you, and we're truly grateful for your support. So please, get others involved. Turn them on to the show and encourage them to support this critical project. We need all the help we can muster in this fight. So on behalf of myself and Anthony, we do thank you so much. Now, what do you say we get on with this week's show?
Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners. Boy, this is an interesting day.
We have 9 guests today.
9?
We had a coalition meeting that's been renamed. We'll hear the name later. But we're taking 3 guests at a time in the studio, and we want to talk about the do's and don'ts and the yeses and the no's of the racially charged Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman trial that split this country up. And without further ado, I'd like everyone to introduce themselves. Gary, you first.
I'm Gary Smith. Facebook famous, made through Get Gun for Hire.
Rob Villegas.
Edward Hildebrand, a.k.a. Captain Wheelgun from some on Facebook.
Captain Wheelgun. Nice. I love it, Ed. I love it. So we got these guys in. They're going to be here. We're going to rotate 3 more, and then we're going to rotate 3 more. Now, we all know what's been going on with the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman thing, and a lot of people know my opinion already, that I feel Zimmerman never should have got out of the car after dispatch told him to. And in my opinion, I feel from that point on, everything that Zimmerman did was wrong, regardless of stand your ground, black, white, Chinese, Asian, I don't know what the hell it is, but that's my feeling. But I want to hear from you guys right now, your opinions, and don't hold any punches back. Hit it.
My opinion starts with when you're playing the role of a neighborhood watch person, you're supposed to watch. When he saw, he should have reported. And the fact that some authority, I didn't know the law said that you didn't have to follow rules of 911. I was under the impression that 911 people were sanctioned by the law. So if somebody from 911 said, hey, stop, don't go do that, I took it as the police. The fact that he continued to walk on after he was told not to, or whether he was or was not, I don't have those facts or details. I got a chance to watch some of the news reports and things that went on. I have an opinion about it, and that opinion is he should have stopped following if he was following at all, made his report, gave a color of shirt, height of person, and yeah, I even agree with giving the color to person. I've been hearing about that crap.
What do you guys think?
I think that if you ask anybody, including George himself, would you have gotten out of the truck that night, he would have said no. He would have said, in hindsight, obviously it's 2020, he would have said, I shouldn't have gotten out of the truck. But if we were put in that same situation and we were George Zimmerman and we got out of the truck, I think we would have done what he did. And, you know, he got out of the truck, some altercation happened, George shot Trayvon. I think if we were put in that same situation after the getting out of the truck, we would have all shot too.
But you see what's happening right now? It's dividing us. All of us gun people, people of color and of non-color, are all killing each other now and making the, and I blame the race baiters. I blame the media.
Well,
I blame
race the politicians. Yes, yeah, of course.
The race profiteers like your Sharptons and stuff out there,
Jesse
poking
Jackson.
The bear, Jesse yeah. Jackson, obviously. Ed, I mean, how do you feel about this? You seem to be a white dude.
I'm white. I agree. Zimmerman never should have got out of the car. And I think everything changed. Two worlds collided by two idiots, not of any color. I think it was just two idiots in the wrong place. And unfortunately, one paid with his life and one will pay for the rest of his life. But I do agree with you about the race baiting. There's no place for it. The president should have kept out of it. I think he's one of the biggest instigators.
Yes, I agree.
I don't agree with Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or the media out there constantly stirring this up. It doesn't help anything. And quite honestly, they're not the people to look up to, as far as I'm concerned. You look up to an Ansley or a Gary, a family man doing the right thing. These people who are chasing the race card, if race relations were all well and fine, these guys would all be out of business. Exactly. And it's a big, you know, I mean, we sit and joke, and it doesn't matter who you are.
Correct.
You know, respect and value life. Not, you know, they're turning this into a war.
Well, you have to understand, too, what happened. You know, Gary, you brought this up. What happened immediately with NBC doctoring the 911 tape. If you were to listen to the actual 911 tape, not the doctored version, which everyone heard, the 911 operator never did say stand down. The 911 operator in the exchange said, there is no need.
We don't need you to do that.
We don't need you to do that.
I wouldn't care how those words came out.
Yeah.
I came from a household that said, there's authority and you listen to authority.
Correct.
And as far as I'm concerned, the moment I dialed 911, why did I dial 911?
Right.
Because I needed someone with authority who had authority to do more than I could, and it should have been a simple report.
Unless you heard someone screaming for help and you charged into that situation.
We're talking about two different situations there.
Right.
I totally agree with you. And I've said it that I could have been Trayvon Martin that day. I know others will differ when they look at my skin tone, particularly F.U. Sean Brown, who happens to be my nephew.
Which happens to be his new name now, F.U. Sean Brown.
But I could have easily been that guy, Trayvon, or I could have been Zimmerman, because I take advantage of getting my carry license through Gun for Hire, and when I go to states that allow me to carry, I carry. Whether or not I find myself in that situation with a Trayvon or whatever the person's name may be, thug mentality is what you're going up against. I don't care what color they are.
Right.
I've met thug mentality in Boston, and I've met it in Texas. You're going to deal with it. And as a gun owner, you have to carry a bigger piece of responsibility, which says, I don't want to shoot anybody, but I'd be damned if my kids and my wife are going to have to attend my funeral.
Absolutely.
And that's what the point it has to get to. And
carrying a gun is a responsibility. It's not a fashion statement.
Yes, correct.
And that's what some people take it as. When you decide to put that on yourself, on your person, it comes with a major responsibility.
Absolutely.
It's not about, hey, look at me. You know,
no, you don't want anybody
to see. It's there for a reason.
It's a change.
Hopefully you would never need it. But
to be quite honest with you, I don't know Zimmerman, but I think deep down, I don't think he's a racist.
I don't think he's a bad guy.
I
mean, if he was left there beaten, you know, a few more hits, he may have been a vegetable.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's proved
it's just
that point.
Two worlds collided.
It was just two
idiots.
Two idiots. There you go.
Exactly.
No color involved.
We'll be right back.
When things get real rough and push comes to shove, strangers help strangers get by.
For the first time ever, you can get the very same extreme performance gun care system used by U.S. Special Forces, the FBI, Navy SEALs, and Army Rangers. Their guns need to work all the time, no exception. That's why this very special formula was created. And this very same formula is being made available to you. So now, you can get up to 10 times more rounds down range between cleaning and ultra-reliable lubrication in any condition from blistering desert heat to bone-cracking Arctic tundra. For a very limited time, you can get this amazing gun care system at a ridiculous special introductory price of less than $15 delivered right to your door. Use promotion code G1, that's GOLF1, when you call to order toll-free at 877-NRA-GUN-1. That's 877-NRA-GUN and the number 1.
Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees. Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
And this segment is sponsored by Waldorf Chiropractic. WaldorfChiro.com. Waldorf Chiropractic. Dr. Eric also volunteers his time,
yes,
and
does.
His money and his effort,
yep,
to get involved with the coalition. Gary, you're personally friends with Waldorf. Your family all goes there, right?
Well, we're personally friends now, but we started going there because my youngest son has a curve in his back, and he's been making them very comfortable. So we've enjoyed the time that we've had at Waldorf Chiropractic.
It's
so
nice to go to somebody who's a Second Amendment supporter.
Yep. You know that money is going somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, you need to put it where it goes.
Bridgewater, New Jersey. Check him out. Waldorf Chiropractic on Facebook. If he's too far for you, pimp him out to your friends. Send him a thank you. Let him know that you're a supporter. Don't spend your money that's going to fight and take your rights away.
That's right.
So we're back again. Now, how old are you? You're the youngest one here, Junior. Rob. Rob or Robert,
Rob's fine.
So you're 23 years old. So you're new into the gun thing. You've taken classes. I think you built an AR with Jimmy, too, right?
Yes, I've taken.
Didn't you have to wait till you were 21 to build the AR?
No.
Oh, okay. So he's new to it. How do you feel about this? Like, do you realize, did you notice, I've been saying this for 30 years, how colorblind the shooting sports are? When you're in the range, is anybody looking at each other like we're black or Spanish or Protestant or Muslim?
No, everyone's looking downrange.
Everybody's looking, that's good. But you notice how unselfish people are? Like last night, Gary and his kids were here. The Glock and 1911 debate. So I got a box of ammo and a Glock 19. I went out there, I shot 10 rounds. Then I gave it to his kids to shoot. Like, and I'm not thinking, oh, I brought it to these black kids or these Kuwaiti kids or these white kids or whatever. They're fellow gun owners, and they enjoy it, and I want them to test it out. Ed, how many times have you let people shoot your wheel guns?
Many times. I shared Ansley's brand new wheel gun a month ago when he bought it. He invited me up. I said, yeah, I'll be there. I'll bring my new one for you, too.
And this is why we have the show today, because us gun owners that have this common thread are tired of this effing race-baiting crap that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, let's get past this. Let's work together. Let's become a free society again. We're allowing the Fourth Estate, a.k.a. the media, we're allowing the politicians to change the agenda so that they can continue to strip our rights away while we're watching this Trayvon Martin trial unfold minute by minute by minute.
Right. It's by design.
Yes,
okay?
Absolutely.
None of this is by mistake. It's by design.
It's calculated.
Unfortunately, we have a president who blew probably the best chance he ever had, any president has ever had. When the president came in, did you guys see the new NBC Wall Street Journal survey results that just came out? Right now, 52% of whites, 38% of blacks have a favorable opinion of race relations. When President Obama was first elected, those numbers were 79% white, 63% black had favorable race relations, favorable idea of race relations. It has plummeted under this presidency because of the race profiteers.
It's a dividing they put into
yes. It. Exactly.
And I admit to we do some of our own dividing in the black community, because when I present the fact that I have a gun, I own a gun, I carry a gun with me in certain states, sometimes the first part of the conversation they have is, you think you're a hillbilly, or come right out and say it, you think you're a white boy. Like, the white guys carry guns, Gary, that's not what we do. No, that's what you don't do when you're, when you're not a criminal.
Correct.
But you can do, and you, all you have to do is exercise your rights like me. And that's the reason I continue to run my mouth on Facebook for all my friends who are listening to this week's show. Thanks for being with me.
You have to understand the progressive agenda that's been in place now for over 100 years. And the progressive agenda is purely, purely racist. Just about every leader in the Progressive Party, we're not talking just Democrats here. We're talking Democrats and Republicans. The first, one of the interesting things I find from the standpoint of gun owners is, who's one of the biggest icons? Teddy Roosevelt, right, Ann?
Correct.
Teddy Roosevelt was the first progressive. The Bull Moose Party was a progressive party. If you take a look at the land grabs that Teddy Roosevelt did, they were the biggest in
history.
They
pulled property right out from people. Right out from that family-owned property, 150 years in the family, just took it.
Yep, just came in and took it because they knew better. Planned Parenthood was started by a racist. One of the interesting things I find out now with the race thing going on is you have a lot of talk with this Trayvon Martin thing. The president now comes out and interjects himself into this debate. But he didn't say a damn thing about Kermit Gosnell.
Yep.
Who was the physician who did who killed I don't know how many thousands of babies, had jars of babies' feet on his desk.
Yep.
And yet nobody interjected into that.
It
works to say anything about the woman that was beaten bloody in Melbourne.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
By
correct.
A constant convicted felon. Well, correct. The return style of justice.
We need to convict all our politicians on that.
Absolutely. We need to hold them responsible.
Sound like me.
Yes.
And the judges.
Yes.
It hit Facebook, I think, today, maybe yesterday. But the idea was Christie ran his mouth saying, you know, come sit down and sit across the table from these people who were victims or family were victims. Hey, Christie, how about you go out your front door in Trenton,
yep.
go down the street,
yep.
and you hold your own, sit across
absolutely.
The table
yep.
with all these people who are losing their kids and dying to illegal gun violence, not the guns that I have or I carry into
correct.
This place.
Correct.
It's the illegal ones.
Correct. At the very hand of progressive politicians like Chris Christie, you hear that, America? Chris Christie wants to be president of the United States.
In a bad way.
In a very bad way. Unfortunately, this is one of those guys who is just a super progressive. He is a big government guy. The same government that oppresses everyone. Take a look at what just happened in Detroit. Okay, Detroit, 61 years of progressive politics. This is what you're facing. Trenton,
yes.
Camden, Patterson.
Newark.
Newark.
Passaic.
Right.
We need to call them out.
Call them out for what they do. It's when election time comes and they need a vote, they're knocking on my door, they want to fix the sidewalk, they want to pave the street,
mm-hmm.
and then after that starts up or that project starts on your street and they're gone, guess what? Your street and your sidewalk are screwed for the next 4 years.
That's right.
Or the next 2 years, depending
you're
on what term
right.
you're in. These guys are baiting us into this I'm taking care of you mentality, and Menendez is doing it this week. He's going to my old hometown of Linden, New Jersey, to brag about how he's going to bring $2.4 million there on a grant to give us more firemen. What the hell do we do after that grant runs out?
Right.
It becomes a taxpayer's problem.
Forever.
Well, again,
benefits and everything.
Yes, and again, he wants to, the whole goal of progressivism is to make you a slave again.
Yes.
A slave back to a politician.
I had family members who were slaves. I'm not going back to it.
And unfortunately,
they were Palestinian.
If we look inside joke, if we take a look at what's going on in our inner cities, the people who live in the, who are forced to live in inner cities right now, whether it's Newark or Patterson, our first focus is going to be Patterson because it's literally right here.
Yes.
And it has literally been under control for over 60 years.
Correct.
And we can make a huge impact, and that's what I'm so excited about the coalition for, is the fact that we're literally going to be able to go into these neighborhoods and educate people that you do not have to be a slave to your neighborhood. You should not have to be frightened that your children are walking to school. You should not have to be frightened to live in your own home.
Can I tell you what I'm excited about? besides that, we have a 23-year-old kid who took time out of his Saturday to come here to be on the show and volunteer for something like this. Okay?
This is the future
That's
of the world.
That's what gives me the motivation.
Yes, exactly right.
I'm 52 years old. I'm on the other end right now.
He got pissed off early.
Correct. I see 23-year-olds coming here without his priorities here. This is what we need right here.
Thank God. It gives you hope because without this, we could get really, really depressed.
Correct.
Because we feel constantly ostracized. Gary, like you said, we're constantly ostracized. We're minorities of a minority.
We're victims.
Yep.
Yes.
Raise them up right, knock them across the head, and teach them how to use it safely.
Coming back.
Raise them with respect.
All right, you out. You three out.
Yeah.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
If I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it.
I want to give a shout out to the sanitation men in Whippany, New Jersey.
Yes.
I'm walking the dog yesterday, smoking a breakfast cigar. Garbage truck rides by, throws a Milk-Bone biscuit out the window, speeds past me, and the garbage man on the back yells, "I will not comply."
No shit.
Swear to God. I want to give a shout out to them.
That's great.
Yeah. You know, everybody's always worried about the aftermath when the cops are coming. If you don't call Evan Knappen, you can always use my philosophy, which is shoot, then get the shovel. But, you know, that's not for everybody.
The only guy I know carries a shovel and a bag of lime in the trunk of his car.
And black pepper, so the rodents don't dig it up.
Don't dig it up.
Real quick.
About the black pepper.
Yeah, you need a lot of black pepper.
I'll
learn you later. The Knappen Live Action Law Seminar sold out for October.
Yes.
December 6th, we only have 15 seats left, okay? Morning.
You better book it now.
And Knappen has the first case going to the New Jersey Supreme Court in 40 years for right to carry violation.
Yes, he does.
Okay? Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. This is the Pantano case.
Okay? Keep it up, Evan.
Yes, keep it up, Evan.
So I just can't thank him enough for everything he's done.
He was like a big kid when he called.
In this state. Now we have 3 more people in the studio to discuss Trayvon Martin. And the coalition, Ray Herman. Ray, say hi.
Hi.
Oh, we heard him good. That's good. Ainsley Reynolds.
F you.
F me.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very good.
And Dan G. Dan, say your last name.
Gurdovich.
Okay. And we're all friends linked up on Facebook. So we got Ainsley's representing the color right here, and he's surrounded. It's a reverse Oreo, right? Did you notice that? Okay.
There we go.
We have a couple of first thing before we talk about our opinions on Trayvon. Ainsley, we want the new name of the coalition, please.
Yes. So from this point on, Anthony, you stop calling it the damn color coalition. It is now called People of Color for the Right of Self-Protection.
People of Color for the Right of Self-Protection. Okay? I want to thank Walter Haas. Bought 30 tickets. I bought 10 tickets for the movie Assault It.
Yes,
those are two-sided. Here's two for you, Ray. This is from Walter Haas. Okay.
Actually, I already bought a ticket.
You bought, here's two
I
for
can
you.
Bring a friend.
Okay. You want another one?
Yes, I'll bring a friend.
Two more for you.
Okay.
Okay. Walter wrote me a letter.
Thank
he
you,
says,
Walter.
Listen to the show, especially about the movie and not being able to get enough people to go see it. Effing unbelievable.
It is.
If we don't get people to wake the F up, we are sunk. This really made me angry, so I bought three tickets.
Wow.
Give the rest of them to the coalition or whatever you want. He says this passive shit in the community isn't going to take it. Guys, so we have a new name for the coalition. There's going to be a lot of rollout on that later. But right now, we got the three guys in here. I want to hear from you what you feel about this whole Trayvon Zimmerman thing. So let's start out with Ray. So put him on the spot. He wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready. Okay. It seems to be more of race. And I don't see it that way as far as the trial and everything. I think it's more – I think it was a fair trial. I think it was
now
justice
you,
was
– You're served. An NRA instructor.
Yes.
And you're a dojo. You own a dojo. You're a sensei,
school.
Right? Do you care if your students are black, white, green, yellow, or red?
No,
you really
we,
don't care.
We have
do, you, all. Do you treat them all equally?
Absolutely.
You break their asses, right?
For sure.
Okay. So, Ainsley, what's your take a little bit on this?
I'm going to take a little different approach. It was galvanized by those outside of this particular incident, people that were not there. There's a couple of underlying issues that some people that are not of color may not understand why some people may be upset. It was a fair trial. It went to trial. Like, the whole point was to get it to trial. That's what the parents wanted. It went to trial. He was acquitted. Now it's moving on. But the problem is that you have outside people that like the name in the spotlight, like Al Charlton Sharpton, who just keeps pushing a particular agenda, and that's what he feeds on. Because I look at the bigger pictures that I'm in a black fraternity, and there was like marches all over the place. And one of the reasons I did not march, because I told my people, I said, I don't understand why you would march for one person, but you're not going to march for all of the other people of color that have been dying.
Right.
In the streets on a regular basis. If you're not marching for them, why are you marching in this one particular case that doesn't even mirror what is going on in our community?
In the entire time that elapsed from Trayvon and Zimmerman that 1 year, how many black on black murders were there?
Thousands.
Just during the trial of this, there were 67 black children, real children, not 17-year-olds, who were killed by gunfire in the city of Chicago, the same city that the president
and
went
no
to when he decided.
And no one's marching for them.
No one's marching.
And that's
for
my
them.
Point. Just to know right. the people of color for the right of self-protection. That's one of the other underlying things is that you got to focus on real laws that deal with that, because this nonsense, garbage right. legislation
yeah.
deals with none of that.
No.
So,
not,
you know, we're focusing on that case as opposed to focusing on what happened. I personally know someone that was killed in Trenton. One of my friends, her son was one of the 23 people murdered this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was her son. I don't remember anybody there other than me comforting my friend when she lost her son.
Yeah, not Reverend all of these Sharpton wasn't
there.
There
was no financial gain.
No politicians from here. They trucking the Newtown people in, and right if she lives right around the corner from the State House.
Right.
I didn't see God called the rest of those jerk offs. Dealing with that issue right here.
I like when he curses. Dan, what about you?
I'm conflicted on the issue because I believe that both parties bear some responsibility to defuse a situation. And both Zimmerman and Martin could have walked away at some point, and both chose not to. Whether we want to put the onus on the man carrying the gun, I agree that he bears a larger responsibility to not inject himself in a potentially harmful situation. However, it doesn't mean that when a situation occurs that he doesn't have the right to protect himself then. So it's difficult because the media has injected race into this. If the media had not, I think the argument would be
The president himself injected race.
Oh,
into
yeah.
This.
Actually,
well,
I
the
like
president
where...
has injected race into many things since he started. If we go back to the beer summit,
right?
Come on,
just elected.
Well,
and,
the police
know,
did act stupidly during that.
Well,
that's what he said.
Did, but I didn't need to go to the
Great Divider. It's a great divider.
To the White House to have beer. Really.
Right.
Yeah. The great divider.
But I like what Dan said. I did want to point one out, you know, one thing out that Dan said, because being, you know, a person that owns a CCW from Florida, thanks to Gun for Hire, and Utah, one of the things that I remember from the Utah training class is not injecting yourself in the situations. One of the biggest things that I would fault George Zimmerman from doing was getting out of the car. Because he just should, to me, he's that had you not gotten out of the car, all of these things wouldn't occur. However, in a self-defense situation, being that I grew up, my brother was a cop, it's at the point where someone becomes the aggressor. Because if me, as a young man, one of the things I was always taught, being that you are a target, when I was growing up, I understand the situation of being profiled and things of that nature. Not saying that he was profiled by George Zimmerman, and if he was, doesn't matter. Is that getting out of the situation was always the first thing to deal with. Not doubling back, not trying to confront whomever it was. Because had someone told him that he was in Florida and understand that Florida laws that people can carry guns, the last thing you want to do is to run up on someone not knowing whether or not he was armed or not.
Correct.
Your job was to get out of the situation. Anytime there is danger, even if I was armed, my job is to get out of the situation. And I mentor young men. The biggest thing I always tell them is that don't make it worse. Your job is to get out of the situation. I don't care if it was with the cop, right, gang member, whomever. Get out of the situation. And that's what didn't take place, hence the outcome.
Ray, as a martial arts instructor, what do you teach?
Yeah, we teach to avoid the situation if you can, you know, to get out of it, like you just said.
To try to de-escalate it and
absolutely.
Not escalate it.
Absolutely.
But look what happens. Sandy calls them the race profiteers. I call them the race baiters. While this whole Zimmerman trial and shit's been going on, they've been taking more of our rights away, and they have us gun people fighting amongst each other.
Which is
that's
exactly
why I decided to have this.
Yeah. Sure.
That's why we decided to have the Gunfire Radio Summit today.
Right. Yes.
Okay? Because they're dividing us, because I read the comments on Facebook, and they're making it a race thing, and we need to grow up and get past that.
Right.
They
right.
want to divide us, divide and conquer. Who said that? Sun Tzu, I think,
Sun
right?
Tzu? Yeah.
Some people fell for it, but that see that was the problem, Anthony. Because and I thank God you had chimed in, because what I posted wasn't I wasn't pushing any blame, but the comments of some of the people that you grown to know in the Facebook kind of pissed me off.
Sure,
but I didn't antagonize it, even though I tried to explain, you know, where we was coming from. But some people just came out of left field. Where you going? You're falling for the same thing that we've
exactly.
been bitching about
right.
with the media. You're
right.
falling for the same thing.
Yep. Correct.
And
yep.
then right. this,
you're falling
first
for the
all,
narrative.
The Zimmerman, this whole thing is not. It's not even if you were. It's not helping us.
Nope.
This is not the test case for concealed carry. It does not help us. So choosing a side and toting it and acting a damn fool, you're pushing other people away. And it's not just people of color. It's anybody in this that may think that. It wasn't about race. You've now made it about race also, because some of the... Because
you chimed
I'm not
in
gonna,
on it. Yeah.
I'm not right. going to right. mention some name, but there are some people I just had to unfriend.
I don't blame you.
Because I think I wanted to reach through the computer and slap them. Because
sure.
I'm like, what planet are you from? You know, on one hand,
but,
we're supposed to be doing
see,
this together.
You're absolutely right. And
they
and,
fell for it.
Yes, they fell for it. And I think that's what we've got to try to get across to everybody out there right now, is do not fall for this crap. This is it's bait that is thrown out for this very purpose, because the real agenda here, I like to call it gorilla dust. If you ever watch a couple of gorillas fight, they stop and they pick up, bend down, pick up a lot of sand, and they throw it up in the air, and they throw it up in the air.
Yes.
Just to try to confuse one another. And it, and what happens here is you've got political volley fire going on. They're firing everything they possibly can to divide these coalitions that exist in the pro-2A community, and also to go after their sole agenda, which is to do damage to stand your ground in Florida.
Yep. And take guns away.
And take guns away.
And,
yes,
and the media
ultimate
is
goal.
Leading you like sheep.
Of course.
That's what I'm saying. You felt, they felt you're falling for it.
They doctored the tape right from the beginning. The president inserts himself into the case. First he was, Trayvon could have been my son.
And then, now me.
Now he could have been me. He's got more,
well,
you know,
with
if
smoking
if you, yeah, smoking. if you take a look
see,
at if you take a look at the situation, you've got Jorge Zimmerman, who is half Hispanic and half white, but they're trying to make him out like a white Aryan Southern guy with an NRA sticker on the back of his car, who's a conservative. He is none of those things. He is a liberal Hispanic guy, but we've doctored it so bad to suit the narrative. We're coming right back. United.
you still fighting crime the old-fashioned way? Now cut crime in half the time with a fast, easy money-saving solution. Introducing the Shitbaggerator, this year's all-new crime deterrence marvel from the makers of Gun for Hire Radio. The Shitbaggerator's compact design makes it quicker and easier to use than jail cells, parole boards, lethal injections, or those costly, outdated electric chairs. Just park your Shitbaggerator in the town square, open the lid, and drop the shitbag in. It's that simple. There's no wrong way to use it. Back and forth, side to side, round and round, shitbags go in and come out as a mound. Super sharp stainless steel blades that never need sharpening do all the work. Slice shitbags so thin, they only have one side. Built strong to last, they slice through even the toughest shitbags. Murderers, rapists, child molesters, no problem. Just set it to high, and the Shitbaggerator's powerful patented motor will handle them three at a time. No muss, no fuss, no bogging down. Just pop the top, drop them in, and watch as the powerful counter-rotating blades pull any size shitbag through at 2 feet per second. Amazing! Cleanup is a breeze. Just rinse with a fire hose or run it through the car wash. There's even a pulse setting for serial offenders. Save up the worst and delight the crowds on the 4th of July. Who needs fireworks when you've got the Shitbaggerator? And it's portable, so you can take it anywhere. But wait, there's more. For a limited time, we'll send you 4 additional sets of special stainless steel blades that never need sharpening. So now you can chop, slice, dice, and cube. The Shitbaggerator and 4 specialty blades, all for the same low, low price. Unbelievable. So don't wait. Call and get yours today.
The Shitbaggerator is available only at Gun for Hire Radio. Operators are standing by.
And Get Out Safe NJ in Whippany, New Jersey. Stop and see Frank DeMeo. He's still running the contest if you bitches haven't
Get in
stopped
there now.
By.
Yeah.
It's got you got one more month, and then September he's going to give out the winner here. You know, Sandy, I told you I took a ride to Montville Office Suites. What a beautiful
place. Great
place,
yeah.
And you want to really check it out. It's montvilleoffice.com on Changebridge Road in Pine Brook. And Ron Sousa is a huge, huge sponsor. And let me tell you something. He sent me some highlights, and I'll get into a few of them real quick. But you could, at Montville, you besides the professional address and location, if you're a small contractor, they'll do your paperwork. They'll do your billing.
Right.
They'll do your quotes. They have an attorney who will look at contracts for you. They have administrative specialists. Again, if you need a certificate of insurance, they'll handle that for you. They'll do your collections. I mean, everything. They have an attorney on site. They have a business manager that'll do QuickBooks and everything. You could not be just the corner house painter or spackling guy. You could have a professional business to compete with that guy that works out of his shitty van.
Right.
You could have that presentation and level of professionalism for $59 a month.
Exactly.
I mean, holy shit.
This is a no-brainer here.
I went to visit the place.
Absolutely.
You know, Senator Panaccio has his office up there. It is beautiful. There's a daycare right next door. I mean, check it out. I mean, montvilleoffice.com. Email Ron or call him. Go and take a visit up there. I did. It's beautiful, man.
If you're a contractor and like an electrician or whatever, you're working all day long, especially in this heat, and then you're coming home at night and having to do paperwork.
Plus, do you want to have people in your house if you're quoting
exactly
a job? Or you meet them at a diner.
Yeah.
Dan, I come to your house. You want to have siding done. What's better? I tell you and your wife to come to my office and sit in the conference room and I show you options. Or we meet in the Montville Diner and talk, you know?
Exactly.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
His place is close to 287, 280, 46,
It's
80.
At the epicenter
it's
of
right
all
there,
of ours.
Right there, you know? Yeah. And he's a supporter of us, so please show your support. All right, so we're back now. Angel, you still angry?
Yes.
All right, good. We were hoping so.
Good.
Because it makes for better radio
I'm
if
always
you're still angry.
Angry.
Angel Ainsley brought
I'm
barbecue
always
today.
Angry.
Good.
Very good.
We want you to be.
Stop gnawing on the microphone.
So while this whole Trayvon Martin thing's been going on, we found out true colors for a lot of people. Sean Brown posted something on Facebook. Everybody seems to be posting stuff with black criminals or whatever. And I put down, I hate everybody. And he says he never sees that from me. Listen, when I saw the Milburn home invasion, I didn't say, look at that black shitbag. I said, look at that shitbag.
Correct.
I would say the same crime. He deserves the same punishment, whether he's black, white, green, or yellow. I really don't give a shit. He deserves the same punishment. Okay?
Shitbaggerator.
All right?
Drop him right in the shit. Shitbaggerator knows no color.
Correct. The colorblind shitbaggerator.
Right.
Wait. Give him another chance. Let him go through the revolving door.
Yes, of course. All the time.
That's probably.
He actually went through the revolving door.
Yes, 12 times. 12 times.
That's the problem.
13's a charm. 13 will be the magic one.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to become a neurosurgeon.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so guys, we talked, the earlier group that was in here, we talk about how colorblind the 2A gun people are. How, like, if I'm in the range, I'll let you shoot my gun and vice versa. And I don't give a shit.
Yes.
You know, because we share a common enemy. We share people trying to strip us of our rights, right? So what can we do to get past this Trayvon thing? What could we do where we could wake the people up and say, stop listening to MSDNC and all that other shit? Guys, give me some ideas.
Well, I've given you the ideas before, is that you need to take, again, and we're going to be working on that, someone that is typically the non-traditional gun owner or a person that is involved in the gun sport, bring them to a range. As I told Anthony, and you know, using gun for hire, I've gotten a lot of people of color to become gun owners in the recent past, get their FID. All you need to do is get them to the range.
Yeah.
Get them, if they're willing and able, you take them to a range. It will change. I'll call it a life-changing experience, because now you've actually experienced it as opposed to what you heard in the media or from some jackass that is an anti-gunner. You've actually done it. Matter of fact, you'll gain respect. Even my very, very liberal frat brother, he was almost anti-gun, but it changed his mind because he actually did it. And damn, did he enjoy himself. You had to see the smile on his face when he left. It's taking the experience of actually doing something before making the judgment.
Correct.
That's basically right. Don't knock it till you try it.
Correct.
Have you ever taken anyone to the range where they have not left with a giant smile on their face?
Never. Not once.
Well, one time I had, but they were rolled in a rug.
Oh, that's true. So. That's great.
Something is wrong with him. Do you know that?
Why are you in
the studio with me then?
I have to sit with this guy every day.
Huh?
I don't think it's just one something. Well, I think it's something major.
It is a laundry list of items.
Dan, what about you, Dan? You introduce people to shooting. You're working with kids. You're talking with me in the fall. We're going to start doing some kid programs here. And, you know, Ray volunteered for the coalition, by the way. I still don't have the name flowing off my lips yet. I need to read it a few times. But, you know,
it's a tough acronym.
You see how unselfish we are. But, Dan, what do you have for ideas?
Sponsoring individuals. Bring them with you to the range. Get them, if they enjoy it, and most 9 times out of the 10 they will, sign them up. Help them get their FID card. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know the process.
Get them involved in what we're calling this, the Guns for the Needy program. Get them involved in the Guns for the Needy program, where they can even, again, a $30 T-shirt to get involved with this thing. I think this thing, Ainsley, wouldn't you agree, this is the best shot we have at changing this on a level that really matters. It really hits home, because now we're seeing what's happening in our inner cities right now. The politicians don't give a crap.
They haven't for decades.
They only care about themselves, self-preservation. Once they get in, it's all about survival and self-preservation. They could give a shit about us. Rome is burning. Yep. They're playing their fiddles and they're eating their caviar.
They don't give a shit.
Yep. Okay? It's up to us to change things.
And we reelect them.
Yes.
Over and over again.
Over and over again, yeah.
And they've done nothing for decades. And that's one of the things I always push, is that tell me what you've done lately. The Janet Jackson song, what have you done for me lately? You can't tell me one thing they've actually done to reduce crime in most of these neighborhoods.
Every policy that they have ever enacted has the obverse effect of increasing crime, making the streets more unsafe, and creating this underculture to where people don't see a positive image. You guys talk about it all the time. Gary talked about it just before. It's the fact that when you speak to your black brothers and sisters, especially your black frat brothers, mm-hmm. and you say, I carry a legal gun, they look at you like you have four heads.
Yes,
like, why are you doing this?
That's how it started.
I thought we were going to name the coalition Blacks with Gats.
Blacks with Gats.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
It's so sad.
I had a thought about how I came to shooting. And I was brought to shooting not from... None of my parents didn't shoot. They didn't have guns in the house.
She does now.
She does now. A cousin of mine whose father was a Korean War vet had guns. And he took us shooting. He took me shooting in the... now I'm going to show my age. Late 80s. And at that point, I said, great, I'll go back and I'll go get my FID. And I got the paperwork, and it sat. Because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I was afraid to fill it out. What are the police going to think? Well, you know.
That's because you live in New Jersey.
Right.
Correct.
So then I moved out of the house, mid-90s. And I went to Eatontown, right by Napa. And I pulled the paperwork again, and it sat. And then the Twin Towers fell. And I thought about it, and it sat. And then I saw the handwriting on the wall, and I saw this president about to be elected, and I said, I'm going to get in there and get this thing going now. And that's what started me.
You and about 12 million other people.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. But it took me that long. Wow. Why? Because I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a big brother, a big sister that said, here's the process. It's not that big a deal. No, you don't have to put down one on the pistol permit the first time you apply. They're not going to think different if you put six rather than one.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying because, again, I came from the other side too, right, where I was afraid to really put down, especially when you get the accusations, why do you need four guns? Why do you need five guns? And the question isn't about need.
I want it.
Yeah.
We talk about a big, like, you know, doing this as like a adopting somebody and helping them. I would go with them when they go to the police department.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So if the cop is going to be a little pushy or intimidating, I'll be right there next to them.
Yeah.
And helping them out. I will do that. And we're gonna talk about that. Ainsley, you had something to say? He always has something to say.
I always have something to say. But I was just, you know, listening to Dan's story, and I'm like, wow, how different our stories are. I grew up with a brother that's a cop, and I've owned a rifle since 95. And as soon as I moved to Jersey, the first thing I did once I established my residency is to get my firearms ID. Like, as soon as I got here, because New York is actually worse.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Do you understand that concept? So here was actually, like, refreshing, even though it sucks. But it's better than New York, which is just frightening.
Right.
Which I think is a bigger problem too, because there's no clear cut pain here. It's a dull ache that we've all learned to live with, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I think that sort of insidious growth of the infringement against our rights goes unnoticed by most people.
It's incrementalism.
Until you go down south. That's when you get pissed. Because when you go down south and see that it's like second nature.
You just crossed the state line.
It's literally like putting on the gun is like putting your wallet in your back pocket.
Exactly.
Right.
When I went to North Carolina, like the lady was laughing at me when I was telling her how we go about in Jersey and this, that. She's like, I
can't. What the hell do you live there?
She's like, you goddamn Yankee. I get up in the morning and stick my gun in my back pocket. And she literally did have it in her back pocket. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I went to Louisiana for work last year, and a bunch of guys in a warehouse putting together boxes for stuff, and they're all talking about guns. Wow. Would that happen in Jersey, Anthony?
Hell no.
No.
Maybe
we're
around
in the closet.
Here, but
you're the demon.
We're in the closet. We have to be in the closet. Right,
yes.
As the owner of a dojo, you have to keep it quiet, too, because you might have anti-gun parents. They won't bring their kids
there,
right?
And I run my firearms set in my dojo, so I'm an FFL as well.
Yes,
so,
you have to be careful because you can alienate people because we have to be closet gun owners.
Absolutely.
What a shitty way we have to live. And we're more law-abiding citizens than most of the anti-gunners.
Hey, we're certified to be good gals and good guys, right?
Correct.
We've been fingerprinted, ID check, background check, colonoscopies, and everything else.
How many times?
We gotta get with the rainbow guys and figure out how to come out of the closet as gun owners.
Well, you know, it's a huge issue.
I'm out of the closet.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm out of the closet.
We've seen this, yeah. And most of us said we should go back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
If you guys don't think the New Jersey Second Amendment Society is doing a good job, you're sadly mistaken. NJ2AS.com, $35, it's
cheaper than a back waxing.
Let me tell you something. You know they're doing this gun giveaway with the Firearms Policy Coalition.
Boy, you're catching
some
a lot of shit.
Jackass posted on the Star Ledger that we're giving away a free gun, and it's an illegal free gun in New Jersey. Dude, NJ.com, as of last night, there was over 1,600 comments. People were posting that I'm going to join. I didn't know it existed. I'm going to join. People were also posting it's cheaper than a back waxing on NJ.com. Okay?
That's
so
great.
Listen up. New Jersey Second Amendment Society, NJ2AS.com. They also have a Facebook page. They're still doing this raffle. It's good for what, Corey? Another 4 days, right? Till the end of the month?
Yeah, straight to the end of the month.
And you have a choice of winning three different firearms. The one they showed a SIG, which is illegal in New Jersey, but you would get a Jersey legal one. But of course, the press, he reported in the title that
right.
We were given. And Senator, what was his name?
Greenwald
said, maybe we should pass a law to make this illegal. And somebody wrote, typical New Jersey. If it moves, tax it. If it moves slower, legislate it. If it stops moving, subsidize it. Okay, so NJ2AS.com, we need your support. Please join. I have three more guests in the studio now. We're going to start. Please introduce yourself, my brother.
Keith Bratcher.
Keith Bratcher, not Bractor.
Keith Bratcher. Get it right today.
Keith owns 1209 Photography. He's done all the Gun for Hire headshots and our NRA dinner. He's the shit behind the lens, okay?
Corey Vaughn.
What about Corey? He's good. Okay, next.
F.U. Sean Brown.
F.U. Sean Brown.
In the building.
Sean, did you bring your Glock?
No Glocks.
Okay.
No
Glocks. Sorry. So now the first time it's the opposite here. We got two black dudes and a white dude. It's been the other way around since the beginning.
So we now really do have an Oreo cookie.
We have an Oreo cookie right now. You're the creamy center, Corio.
I always am.
That in itself is frightening.
Would this be called a Corio?
It would be.
A Corio. Yeah, a Corio. Okay. Right. So now... We want to listen. We've heard a lot of stuff. Sandy and I are kind of tainted now because this is the third group. We want to hear a little bit about you guys. We talked about the race baiters and the race profiteers. Where we found out who our friends and really not, like on Facebook and stuff, when it comes to firearms. Now, Keith has been in the Gun for Hire family fold for the longest time. He's taken a ton of classes. He's Gun for Hire alumni. One thing I'm going to ask you, between Gun for Hire and the normal firearms fraternity, going to shooting ranges or anything, do you ever feel any racism?
No, not at all.
Okay.
The only thing that I do, what happens a lot of times, is I can't stand the fact that most times when I go shooting, I'm one of maybe three black people at the entire event.
We're trying to change that.
It could be 300 or 400 people at an event, and there's three of us. That's my biggest issue.
With
the shooting community, but it's not the shooting community's fault. It's our community. It's our fault.
Correct.
Because not enough of us are aware.
Correct. But you never feel. I mean, now you're when you show up, 400 people, and there's three black people. You truly are a minority at that
Absolutely.
Event. But no one makes you feel that way.
Not at all.
Because we don't give a shit. I talk about it all the time. If he's in a port next to me and says, "What are you shooting?" The first thing I say is, "Here, you want to try it?
Right.
Ammo's a dollar a bullet." I should be thinking, "I just let that son of a bitch shoot $20 worth of my ammo." I don't think that. Go ahead, Corey.
Moreover than that, I was when we were shooting Knockdown Steel in Old Bridge last week. We were handing guns back and forth. I just handed a complete stranger, some guy I've never met before, a weapon that he could turn around and kill any number of us.
Right.
Like that.
But you know, here's the difference.
No, but,
you would never do that on a street, would you?
I wouldn't hand the guy I run into in Walmart my bank card, no. But I handed a complete stranger a gun, loaded.
And you felt safe doing it.
Yes.
I didn't think twice about
yes.
it.
Yes. Because
and he handed one to me, and I handed one to the next. It's the people in the shooting community. It never crosses your mind.
It couldn't be a safer transaction, could
Absolutely.
It? We have all been background checked. We just talked about this in the last segment. We are certified good guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Many times over.
You know that, yes, many times over, because every single time you go to make a transaction of ammunition in this state, you hear that, Kentucky? You
they
have
don't know.
To present your firearms ID card, and be background checked. And put your name, thank you very much, into a book with how many rounds of ammo you just bought.
Now, Sean is sitting there, is wearing an I Will Not Comply shirt, which is pretty cool.
I know. It's been a sea of I Will Not Comply shirts.
I started this. I was the one that posted on Facebook to do this because of a post he made, okay? He doesn't hold any punches in his posts, which I think is great. And a couple of observations were this whole where people that the people of color thought they were friends were making the whole Zimmerman thing totally within racial lines, okay? Absolutely. Which really got under my skin, and that's why I decided to do this. So, Sean, let's hear a little bit of your perspective, talking from the Trayvon and Zimmerman thing, and reflect on how you feel in the gun community. Angelie just stole something.
Oh,
he just ran out with something.
He stole the food he bought us.
Okay, nice.
He ran?
Oh, yeah, figures.
Well, listen, the biggest problem that I have with us joining the group, being the minorities anyway in the group, NJ2AS, Gary and I went to the Belleville presentation, and, you know, I looked around, and I was the only black guy in the room, you know.
You and the Kuwaiti.
Left Gary out.
No, Gary was not a black guy, so he was left out intentionally. So, you know, we had a common goal. And that's really what I joined the group for. I could care less about color, and I pretty much thought that it was the same way for everybody. The ugly thing that happened with this Trayvon case was that I found out that not everybody was thinking the same way that I was thinking. We are not on the same team.
Absolutely.
And it's not everybody. You know, there are a certain few that continually post things on Facebook or any other social media outlet, and their biggest thing is they keep putting statistics up there, and they only statistics about what African-American crimes are being committed or what crimes are being committed by Afro-Americans. And to me, that is you showing your whole hand. Let's not show your whole hand. I posted that yesterday. You know, leave some room for speculation that you're a scumbag. I'm sorry.
I posted on there too.
Yes. You know, so let's get back to really what was the issue. And the issue is not the stand your ground law. The issue was somebody doing something that didn't need to be done. Okay. And that went on both sides, in my opinion.
Correct.
Okay. So I really got offended. I got upset. You know, I posted a couple things to a couple different people. I sent some messages to people privately because I thought we were cool. And if we're cool, you shouldn't single out one group of people. You know, let's not do that. You know, let's not put a filter on your searches to find out what crimes are being committed by Afro-Americans.
And you know what's funny? This is a win for our government and for the press.
Absolutely.
Because they've been able to divide our solidarity. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, I know Keith 7 years, and now all of a sudden he's looking at me funny, like, am I one of those dudes, you know,
right.
also?
Right.
And I really can't afford to have that happen because I need him to fight alongside me.
Absolutely.
Because I want to keep my constitutional rights. He just had a baby boy. He wants his kid to grow up in a free country.
That's right.
And not a country where he's going to be an oppressed slave. Not a slave in the sense of 100 years ago, but a slave to the government in that sense today.
A slave nonetheless.
Correct.
It's serfdom.
Yes. And that's what pisses me off, that they've achieved that. The race baiters, and as Sandy says, the race profiteers, you know.
Right.
And we
right.
really can't have that because we're having a hard enough time. We're a minority. You're a minority within a minority.
Absolutely.
Okay? Probably three steps down, right?
Right. Yep.
By being gun people, tend to have conservative leanings, and then you're also someone of color. Like Keith says, 3 out of 300 people show up. You're like this niche minority group, and now you're starting to feel separated from that, and I can't allow that to happen. That's Michael Jackson, by the way.
Jackson.
That's his name, Michael Jackson.
And I did not. Okay. I did not even see the glove.
Yes.
He looks much better.
He looks phenomenal.
Yeah, for a dead guy.
Well, that's what we have. I have to introduce you to him. He's part of the coalition.
He's a
nice. True. But all of these guys, I really. Oh, what a show!
Oh,
I feel for these guys. And they may not think I feel for it as much as I do, but I do because I can't afford this divide right now because
right.
we're hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
Sandy talks
we
about
can't
the,
afford it.
No, we
you.
Can't.
We
correct.
Can't. No,
Sandy talks about the Overton window. You know, Corey talks about too. Before Newtown, we're looking for federal concealed carry.
On our
okay?
way.
Newtown,
now we're looking to
Martin.
Hold on.
Now we just hope that Christie doesn't sign this freaking omnibus Sweeney
right.
bill
right.
and what's going on federally. And again, the race baiters. And I deep down, I don't think Zimmerman is a racist. I don't even know if he knew what color Trayvon was when he pursued him that night. I can't speak for him, but I know that if I was citizen watch and I saw a stranger in my neighborhood, I don't care if he's black or white, he's a stranger in my neighborhood, I'm going to look and see who he is. I always go back where I say Zimmerman should not have gotten out of the car. Then it escalated. Did they both make mistakes? I'm sure they did. Does Zimmerman ever wake up every day happy he killed that kid? There's no way. He doesn't look it. I don't see it in his face.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we have people now who thought they were friends for whatever that term may be, whether it's Facebook, social media, two-way groups or whatever. So I want it to end. I'm tired of it. We have to start moving
right.
forward. Listen, if you don't like black people and you want to keep boasting black shit, then don't be a poser. Just come out and say it and go join the local KKK
yeah,
group
so
or whatever
everyone
it is,
knows who you are.
And don't hang out with us.
Right.
And
exactly.
And there's plan and say if anybody's wondering.
I mean, you could do stuff like that on your personal pages.
Correct.
Where I don't have access to it.
Correct.
But if I see it and I see you in public,
checking
we're
going to
have a conversation.
Correct.
Checking
and you know, you got to, you know, a
but,
lot of times.
But as it
like
should
be.
Shouldn't it be that way, Keith?
Absolutely.
I mean.
See, but everything I post on my personal page, I post publicly because I'm not about hiding shit.
Right,
but
exactly.
Like,
right.
Like, even,
that's
so
what Ainsley said. Yeah, you know, I hate everybody, remember?
I know.
I hate. I don't get. Listen, I said it in the earlier show. When I see the Milburn video, I don't go, look at that black son of a bitch. I go, look at that son of a bitch.
Right.
Okay? Because I picture it, if it could happen to in my house to my wife or your wife or our mothers or something.
Right.
Whether it's black, white, or green, I am pissed off at criminals in general. I don't give a shit what color they are.
The guy in Milburn was a predator.
Yes.
Exactly.
The woman was prey.
Yeah, exactly.
Regardless of color, regardless
Correct.
Of anything else.
But I don't make a race thing out of
no,
it. I'm
not
going to post.
It's not a race thing. It's a criminal
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And we got to stop doing this to
yeah.
ourselves.
You know, the Zimmerman-Trayvon case, the upshot of it for me is it's a shit case. They both made mistakes. The ending was horrible. Lives were ruined. The parents, families, no one's ever going to be the same that's involved in that situation.
And the problem
anyone
here,
it touched is ruined.
It's yes. And the problem here is they were ruined by politicians and the media for their agenda.
Yes,
true.
And I mean, this never should have ever come to trial. You know, we were talking about this prior to this. How many children, there were 67 children killed in Chicago
over 2 weekends. That was one weekend. 40 more.
Correct.
No one cares about that. Nobody said shit.
There wasn't a march. Yeah. Where was Sharpton? Where was everybody else? Where was the president coming out against this?
Yeah, in Chicago. That was my biggest problem.
Yes.
Because it's like, okay, one young man got shot. Well, that's horrible.
Horrible, yes.
I'd say between 60 and 100 people in 2 weekends, Father's Day weekend and 4th of July weekend, there were over 100 shootings in Chicago, and nobody said shit.
Nobody said anything.
You didn't hear nothing about, there was no marches.
Nope.
You didn't hear about Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and anybody
else. That's right.
That's what bothered me.
You can multiply this by Washington, D.C., Camden, New Jersey, where there is no more police department, Trenton, New Jersey, Patterson, New Jersey.
Stop discriminating. Let Sean take the mic for a minute.
No, you know what? I just wanted to say, in respect to what was going on and what we just talked about, you know, I posted it after the Trayvon case and the verdict came out, that our community, as the Afro-American community, has devalued the life of our own brothers and sisters so much that it's become acceptable, not just for us to kill each other, but for us to be killed by everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, so police our own homes, our own communities and everything else, and stop accepting all of these government handouts and things like that that they basically allow you to just, you know, live this lifestyle is not okay.
Do you think that's race or socioeconomic? I mean, the same devaluing takes place in Appalachia, in poor white communities where there's the meth problems and that kind of thing going on, where there's a lot of killings, there's a lot of, you know, 20-year-olds getting 12-year-olds hooked on drugs. While there is the race component to what you're saying, it is happening in other places where it's more of a finance or more economic and social than race.
Well, Corey, you could be correct. I can only speak.
I see what Sean is saying.
You know, for my community, what I see, you know, what I've seen coming up and growing up, and you know, having the opportunity to get out of New Jersey and see other areas and other places and be exposed to different things, you know, was a lifesaver for me personally. Okay, these kids, some of them, they don't get a chance to. Yeah. We talked earlier about the generational. Or generations of people that just, you know, accept the public assistance and things like it becomes a lifestyle
because they know nothing other than the hood.
Right.
They don't go to the other side of town.
Right.
Because either they can't or the gangs are just so bad.
Yeah.
You know, having been raised in the inner city, we're the same. We were raised again in a melting pot where you saw this happening, neighborhood. Isolation, where people have never left this neighborhood, be it white, black, or Hispanic, it doesn't really matter. It's just that neighborhood thing that they just never leave. They are never exposed like we have been around the world.
Right.
But that's I think that all goes back to lifestyle choices.
Yes.
You know, I've worked in Newark now for going on 18 years in May, and it wasn't until I got to Newark and got to work with the community where I found out that there are people who have been in Newark their entire lives, 50, 60, 70 years old, have never been out of the city of Newark. And that's that, to me, is absurd.
It's unfathomable.
It's like you can get on a bus to go downtown, but you can't get on a bus to go, you know, to the next city.
Yeah. And they have no desire to.
Yeah, and just want to stay stagnated in one location.
I just got one more thing I want to talk about, and it goes back to us policing our own communities. Last weekend, I had my young cousin come up, 15, 16 years old. There was a shooting out in Trenton at a house party a couple weeks ago. You might have heard about it
on
the news.
Birthday party, I think.
He was standing right there, okay? His mother had been reaching out for help, you know, from myself, from other family members that are males. You know, there's unfortunately no male in the household where he's at, and it's what we see in our community far too often.
Yeah.
Long story short, She drove him up here. We had some time, and a guy that I really know from Newark, who's a police officer who does some intervention work for kids, introduced him to a guy that's on his way to the University of Miami on a football scholarship. And what was so significant about that meeting was that this kid that he was introduced to was somebody else that was, you know, picked up by his boots, you know, and was on the way to do something really wrong and a bad path. And I hope that this intervention that he had with this guy that's on his way to the University of Miami changed him. Okay, we have to reach out more, you know, absolutely, within our community.
Sometimes all it takes is one conversation.
I'm not
one conversation, maybe one person to touch your life in a positive way.
And that's what we're hoping for with the coalition, right?
Yes.
I mean, this was the whole idea behind the coalition, was to really reach out in a way that it's never been done before.
Yeah. People need the education. They got to have
that. The only way I'm going to participate in the coalition is if Ainsley cooks every time we meet. Well,
we've already made that. But you saw, he cooked, he brought it, then he took it home. What is this?
Son of a gun. But so what else, Keith? I like your vocal feelings, and I like hearing what you're saying. And again, you see, I follow up on a lot of your posts and stuff.
Absolutely.
And I try to put a little comedic value sometimes to lighten it up. But
which is appreciated.
Yeah, but I think we got rid of a couple of the posers, though, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which is really good.
I think what happened is, like, I'm sometimes I get too emotional when it comes to black men dying, whether it be boys, men, other, you know, black women, just.
Yes.
I'm black. I love my people.
I never noticed, but go ahead.
and at the end of the day, I love my people. And it pains me to see so much anger and hate within our communities that to the point where we're killing each other on a daily basis.
Yeah.
If there's something that I can do to stop 1, 2, 10 shootings or stabbings or whatever, I'm all for that. I mean, you know, a group of friends of mine and I, about 6 or 7 years ago, we got together and as a group, we joined the Big Brother, Big Sister program in the city of Newark. I'm not even from Newark. But we all helped a group of kids stay out of trouble for a year. And it was a year commitment. And to me, that was rewarding in a sense that nobody did that for me when I was a kid.
Sure, sure.
You know, I mean, I turned out pretty good. I mean, but that's my mother's fault.
Yeah.
you know,
she gets credit
well,
for that.
But
yeah.
Yeah, she gets all the credit in the world. But at the same time, it got to the point where we felt like we needed to do something because so much was wrong. And, you know, it was a wonderful experience for one. The kid that I had, his name was Richard, 9 years old. He had never been out of the city of Newark. First thing I did, took him to New York City. The look on this kid's face when we crossed that bridge,
to see there's
another
the look
world. Of amazement and the fact that everything was not all Newark. You know,
yeah,
it did something
right.
to me. I'm like, wait a second.
It changes you.
Absolutely. Because, you know, to change, basically change somebody's life by doing something simple.
Right.
That anybody and everybody right. is able to do.
Yeah.
It was the best thing in the world. I mean, I lost touch with him, unfortunately. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the message is there. It's like, we're able to help each other. We just got to take the steps to do it.
You know, you're battling so many years, 100 years of progressivism that has said you can't
Correct.
Help yourself.
Right.
Correct.
You
realize,
can't help yourself.
And the number one murder rate is black on black.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Sean said we've trivialized it and we've minimized it to a point where you just read about it in a paper and no one really cares,
yeah.
including the black community.
It becomes,
and that's
becomes
unacceptable.
Lack of a better term, white noise.
Correct.
It you
Correct.
Know, unfortunately, human nature, it's we become numb to it. And we can no longer become numb to it.
True.
This is something that we have to really form together.
We need action.
We need action. Time has come for action.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you guys for being on the show,
taking
the time out of your day. Gun for Hire, we're going to be sponsoring the coalition and helping out. Ainsley's going to email me the proper name and the link for it. We have a ton of new classes listed online. All the urban classes, low light, no light, everything's back. By the way, the Napping class is sold out in October. December's class, there's only 15 seats left. I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank our listeners. And I want to thank the 9 people that visited today,
yeah.
Which was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
All right?
Absolutely. Thank,
thank
you, guys.
Thank you all again.
Thanks for having me. Next time, I want the black headphones.
Black headphones. Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a CounterThink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and the license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio and all our studio guests, we do thank you for listening. Please, 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 please support this project. We are going to make a difference with this. The groundswell is amazing. We have had people wanting to donate tens of thousands of dollars. You can do so by just buying a $30 t-shirt. Just follow a link on gunforhire.com right to the store. It is a privilege to have you as listeners. We love you guys. See you next week. Don't